Welcome to the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. We're getting ready to have an old-fashioned line-on-line, precept-on-precept study of God's Word to search out those deeper truths and gain a greater understanding of the Bible. We would love for you to join us today as we dig in and learn what it is God would truly have us to know from the letter that He wrote to us. Hello and God bless you. Welcome into the study today. We're very glad to have you. We're going to be picking it up in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5. Now, in our last study, we got real into the millennium and what it is that happens on that day of the Lord with those who are living and reigning with Christ for that 1,000 years, those who overcame. And when we left off in Ezekiel, that's exactly what we were talking about, is what's going on throughout that millennium. As we get into verse 5, we get into the first resurrection, that being those who chose to love God in this flesh and who receive that salvation at that point when the seventh trump sounds. They're good. They're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, so verse 5, we're going to get right into it. We'll ask for clarity and understanding from our Father in Jesus' name. Verse 5 reads, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Now, these dead, remember, we're talking about spiritually dead and spiritually alive. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that you've got two bodies, a spiritual body and a flesh body. This flesh at this point is gone, so you're in the spirit, but you still have a mortal soul. Or those who receive the first resurrection are given that immortal soul, to where the second death has no, won't mess with them. Verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's that millennium of teaching discipline, of teaching to stand fast against the temptation that is going to come again at the end of this 1,000 years. And what temptation is that? Verse 7. "And when 1,000 years are expired," whenever they're fulfilled, "Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog," that means east to west, "to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." I just don't understand this, because they've had 1,000 years looking at Christ. He's there. We're in our spiritual body, 100% recall. Remember everything from the day we were created. And they still let this one deceive them into rebelling again. It just blows my mind. Verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city." That's a mess up. "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." They're gone. Just as it says in Psalms 37, like this, the fat of a lamb on a spit. They're out of here. Verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." They're gone. They're gone forever. And that torment is that they're blotted out. That smoke rises forever. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now you see, during the millennium age, we're in the spirit. They could see Christ right there. Therefore, faith at that point, you see him. In this flesh age, faith is important. It's what you need. You have to have faith. In the millennium, he's right there. It don't take much faith to look over and see him. He's there. That's why they are judged by their works, on if they overcome that second temptation from Satan. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now, if you remember from chapter 17, the sea are the people. So this whole sea, this whole crowd that's out there, all those who were spiritually dead, they come forward to receive their judgment. And you know, a lot of people get shaken whenever you talk about judgment. Well, it's either good or bad. There is a good judgment. There's rewards. And also there is a bad judgment. But nobody ever really thinks about that good side of it. Let's see, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Naturally, this is Satan. You know, death is another name for Satan. This is the second death. Not only was the flesh, at this point, the flesh has died, but now even their soul dies for those whose names aren't in the book of life. It's that blotting out. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, this first in the Greek, if you have a Strong's Concordance, it'll be the Greek number 4413, and it means the former heaven, not the first heaven and earth. You see, for that was at the original time whenever we were created, and Satan's rebellion took place. Then you have the one we're in now. Therefore, this new heaven and new earth would be looking back at the former, not the first. Just something there in passing. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This flesh is passed away. There's no more use for a flesh body. We return to our spiritual bodies, where there's no sickness or death or sorrow or any of that. One thing on this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, when he casts all those children of his, when he blots them out, that's going to be hard on him too. He's going to have to wipe tears from his eyes as well. Just something to think about. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. That living water. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Right there, family. You know, God's the closest relative that we have. In the spirit, he is our closest relative. Your earthly mom and dad, you know, fleshly, yes, they're next of kin. But God is even closer than that, because he created your soul. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. And the sorcerers is that pharmaceutical, those drug pushers. And idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Basically, you can say that, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the rudiments, or the elements, those wicked rudiments of the world, they're blotted out. They're gone away. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now there again, we discussed this before. You have the bride, and you have the wife. The wife are those who were chosen before the foundations of the world, that were at that point, that stood for God during that rebellion, that were justified, that were chosen, and that were wed, basically, at that point. The bride are those who made up their mind in this flesh age to love God and not follow Satan. And that's that bride. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, that Shekinah glory, that light. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It's just so pure. And had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 13, on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. Something interesting about this is that in Ezekiel chapter 48, Ezekiel gives this exact description, but he lists the names as well. All right, verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, is a perfect cube. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are all equal. Another interesting thing about this is that in Solomon's temple, the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube of 20 cubits. So what you're seeing here is this new heaven, this new city coming in, and it's God's, it's his dwelling. It's where he's at. He's in this huge Holy of Holies because he's back. Let's see, and verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like into clear glass. Everything is so pure. It's perfect. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second, sapphire, and the third, chalcedony, and the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprasus, and the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. Just perfect. No trash, no dross, nothing. Just pure. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That Shekinah glory, that same glory that lit the world whenever God said, let there be light. You see, the luminaries weren't created or put in the sky until the fourth day. But you see, he said, let there be light, and his Shekinah glory showed up and lit the whole world. And that's what we will be in this new heaven. There's going to be no shadows, no darkness of any kind, because his glory will be surrounding everything. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall be not shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. It's always open. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. None of that's going to be there. Nothing deceptive is going to be there. No lies, no darkness, because it's all going to be blotted out at that point. Chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, of the Lamb. Now, this is that spiritual water coming from the throne. You can read of it also in Ezekiel chapter 47. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations, or the peoples, the ethnos. Now this healing is a very interesting word in the Greek. It comes from the Greek word 2322, which is kind of a compound of two other words. And it doesn't necessarily mean from sickness, but from basically boredom or restlessness or anything that, you know, just anything of a negative nature. It gets it all out of there. We won't be bored. Another meaning for this word also is worship. We'd be there worshiping. All the nations will be worshiping God. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Ezekiel 48, verse 35, says that God is there. That's Yahweh Shema. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You'll be sealed. That tav that we read of in Ezekiel, that mark of God. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. A complete restoration of the earth to the time that it was when, before the flesh age, before the catabol, complete restoration of that paradise. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. Blessed is he that keep the saying of the prophecy of this book. That means read and understand it. It's for those that go about saying, well, you don't need to hear, you don't need to know about the book of Revelation. We're not going to be here. It says right there, blessed is he that keep the sayings of this prophecy. Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, or when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Now, this was not the angel of the Lord. This is one of the angels with the seven vials. Then what happened? Verse 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do that not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. You see, angels are just spiritual bodies. The word angel just means a messenger. And for someone to fall down and worship an angel, even in the flesh, to fall down and worship an angel, that's not right. We were all created. That's a creation, worshiping a creation, instead of the creator. And you see, this angel rebuked him quick for it. Don't you do that. You get up from there. You don't worship me. What is the end of that verse? Worship God. Verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for time is at hand. See, don't seal it up. It's the unveiling. It's the revelation. We're supposed to understand it, not seal it away. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. You see, basically what that means is we're not required to go out here. It's not our job to rope people and drag them in, try to drag them into Christianity, because you can't do that. You can't make somebody believe something. It's our job to plant the seed and allow God to germinate that seed and allow God to make that seed to grow within them through the former and the latter rains, that Holy Spirit moving within them. There's no man can save another man. No gender implied, women either. Only God can. But it's our job to spread the seeds. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now see, you're saved by faith, but you're rewarded by your work. That should kind of spark your mind to those robes of righteousness that are sown from the righteousness of the saints. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Okay, now that verse right there, 15. We're no longer in the millennium or in the new heaven. At that point, we go back to 96 AD. And John's letting you know right there, I'm back in the flesh age. Because you see, in that new heaven, none of that's there. We've been told several times it's blotted out. And sometimes that confuses folks. But what that is given a timestamp. Now we're back in 96 AD where John was. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All it takes is to believe. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe upon him would have everlasting life, that water of life. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, one thing on this. This is talking about the manuscripts, the original manuscripts. As we work through this King James Version, which had been translated, there are mistranslations. In the original 1611 King James, in the front, the translators wrote two letters, one to the king and one to the readers. And they explained in there, we're just men. We make mistakes. So check us out. Don't believe or don't rely on our work. Do your own footwork. So to find the mistranslations within this and to properly translate is not changing the manuscripts, but it's improving the understanding, if you will. Verse 20, "And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now, before we close out, I just want to jump over to Isaiah right quick and just to touch on, "And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes." Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. Actually, we're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. Now, this is a chapter of praise. And let's see about those tears being wept away, wiped away. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, and I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made a city an heap." That city of Babylon is gone. "Of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built." It's never going to return. Although Satan's going to lead a little, his group after the temptation of the millennium, he's going to lead that group, but it's not going to amount to anything. It'll amount to smoke. That's it. Smoke that rises forever and ever. Verse 3, "Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. As the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low." All those who do choose to follow Satan is going to come to nothing. Verse 6, "And in this mountain," or this nation, "shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines, on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined," just the best of the best. "And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." All that confusion, all those lies, everything's gone. Verse 8, "He shall swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces." That's why I say even his face, all faces, because it's going to be a bitter day for him. "And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." That's been the entire theme of this book of Revelation. If you can count to seven, you can understand this book. There's seven trumps, seven vials, and seven seals. And we don't leave here as far as Christ coming back. Christ doesn't return. Let me say it that way. Christ doesn't return until the seventh. And that's what he wants you to know throughout this book of Revelation. Be sure not to fall for that one that comes in the sixth. While we are still in the flesh, while there's still blood and bone, because that won't be here in the seventh. I hope that you've enjoyed this great book as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. God bless you, and y'all have a great day. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. If you have any questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, you can write to us at Humans Under Grace, P.O. Box 1467, Tatum, Texas, 75691, or you can email us at questions@humansundergrace.com. Thank you, and God bless you.